Amen. That was good singing. Praise the Lord. We have something to sing about. I know what I used to sing to, and I don't sing that anymore. So let's turn. You know, it was one thing we, a lot of times in talking to Christians or just in the passing of going through the Christian life, there's one thing that a lot of times a subject comes up. I says, well, what is the will of God in my life? Maybe somebody's newly saved and they don't really know a lot about the Christian life or what they should do, and maybe somebody's just getting right with the Lord and those sorts of things. Maybe they've been saved for 30 years. Doesn't matter. It's what do you want me to do? Hopefully you're asking that question. Hopefully you're like Saul when he became the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus and he got knocked on the ground. The first thing he said when he realized that Jesus Christ was there and he accepted him as a Savior, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And so hopefully you ponder those things. And you know what? The will of God is pretty simple. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. A lot of times we will try to make it very complicated and the whole process to the will of God and all these sorts of things. And we try a lot of times in our minds, maybe it's the devil, makes it seem a lot more complicated than it really is. But our text this morning is very simple. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God of Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the singing. And as I mentioned, thank you. We have something to sing about. And Lord, just pray that you be in the service. Pray that the saints might get edified or challenged, but most of all, that you get the glory in all that goes on here this morning and throughout the day and in our lives. Pray you'd help me to say exactly what needs to be said. Nothing more, nothing less. And I pray your Holy Spirit would have the preeminence here, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So very simple verse there. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. What is the will of God for your life? I don't want to call it a basic thing. It's not basic whatsoever. It's the foundational principle of the Christian life. It says, in everything, give thanks. There's two other times in the Scriptures where the Bible says, talks about the will of God. One is in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. It says you should abstain from fornication. Well, if you're giving thanks, that won't happen. And also put the silence to ignorance of foolish men. That's also the will of God. And 1 Peter 2:15. But really, the whole root of everything here is in this verse. It says, in everything, give thanks. The Bible commands us to be thankful. The Bible also says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Well, if the love of money is the root of all evil, and the Scripture says it is, then unthankfulness is the fertilizers and nutrients that feeds that root. Because if you are thankful for everything, you're not going to chase after the money. You're not going to have to go buy this and buy that and spend time with this and all these distractions that are out there. You're going to be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has for you because you're thankful for what He's given you. And so that is the root cause of everything. That's why the Lord said one simple verse, five words, and everything, give thanks. So what happens? We go through Colossians 3:15. Jason mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. At the end of Colossians 3:15, it says, and be ye thankful. But what happens? What are the fruits of unthankfulness? What happens if we go through life on being unthankful? Well, first off, we're in direct disobedience to God and God's will for us in our lives. So you can just scratch that off about, you know, well, Lord, I really hope you call me to the mission field. I would like to get in the ministry. I'd like to do this. I'd like to teach Sunday school sometime. Well, wait. Let's go all the way back. Are you thankful? That's the will of God. That's the foundation. This building here is built. It's on a foundation, about a big, huge concrete foundation all the way around. You can't just put this thing in sand. It doesn't work. So neither can we build our Christian life without being thankful. So what happens if we're not thankful in the Christian life? You're miserable, bitter, complaining, self-absorbed, covetous. There's always one trial after another, lustful, like a spoiled child. I mean, gets a gift and then cries because it's the wrong color. Who wants to give a gift to that kid? You might just scratch that birthday off the calendar. But unthankfulness goes back a long ways. It goes back to the garden. Eve, way back to the Garden of Eden. There's Eve. Perfect woman, perfect man. She got up in the morning, looked in the mirror, everything was perfect. There's no little, you know, pimple, there's no nothing. Her hair was right, everything's right, her husband's right. Her husband, you find out later, is willing to die for her. That's a good husband. She had everything. Perfect garden, everything. She had to do nothing except just have fellowship with God and with each other and pick the fruit and eat, and it's perfect. Except one thing. There was that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's been bugging me a long time. I wonder what that was for. See, it's the only thing she couldn't have. She had everything, and all of mankind since in the last 6,000 years has tried to go back to the garden through diet and youth creams and exercise and you name it. They want to get back to the garden. They want to try to live forever and be healthy and beautiful and fit and all this stuff. Look, it was all back there. She wasn't thankful. And she wasn't thankful. And ever since then, we've been fighting the fight of the sin. Joseph's brethren, think about that. They had a good life. They lived probably prosperously. Their father loved all the brethren. But they just couldn't be thankful because Joseph had that coat of many colors. He was just a one-upper, you know. He liked the young kids more than us. I'm the eldest here. They couldn't let it go. That unthankfulness turned into envy and bitterness and drove them to want to kill him. And thankfully they didn't, and they sold him into slavery. But it started with unthankfulness. They just weren't happy in the father's house doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's like some of us sometimes, right? Not being content with God's provision. Achan, after they got into the promised land, they're told, don't touch anything. You know, just let all the spoil lay. No, he had to take that Babylonian garment. He had to take those wedges of silver. Samson lived a life after the flesh his whole life. At the end, he says, let me die with the Philistines. He wasn't thankful for anything. He had one wife. Let's get me her to wife and get me her to wife. His whole life was like that. He was never thankful for anything. The children of Israel, you talk about an unthankful group of people. The Bible says they're stiff-necked and hard-hearted. They just got across. They just were delivered from the death angel by the Passover. Miraculous deliverance. Everybody else died around them. All the firstborn died except my child didn't, and his child didn't. Okay, well, let's get on our journey here and go. The Red Sea parts. They go across in dry land. And they start complaining. Over and over and over, they're complaining. They were never thankful for God's provision. David with Bathsheba, he was the king. He had everything. But he still wasn't thankful and led him to commit adultery. Demas, minister with Paul. Walked with Paul for who knows how many years, right? He wasn't thankful for that. Maybe he got a little bitter about being the number two man. Maybe he wanted to be number one man. And Paul always got the chance to preach. And Paul always got the chance to do this. And I'm just kind of tagging along. Maybe that was it. Whatever the case was, Paul said that he loved this present world. And he forsook him. He wasn't thankful. What will unthankfulness... You know what? You think about all the marketing campaigns in the world. All the commercials, all the billboards. You're not thankful for the vehicle you have, you got to have the new one. You're not thankful for this what you have, you got the parade of homes, go look at the new houses. On and on and on. Unthankfulness. It drives all the marketing in the world. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 1. The Bible says, let's go to Romans chapter 1 here. But godliness with contentment is great gain. It's learning that contentment. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And we won't read it for sake of time, but we go from 21 down to verse 32. And basically, all the different sin and all the wickedness that comes in. But it all starts in verse 21 because it says, because that when they knew not God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. And they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Well, that is society today. It's not just in this country, it's worldwide. Talk about being vain in your imaginations. You can be now vain in your imaginations with a high-resolution TV that's 72 inches across and be vain in your imaginations, or in your handheld phone, whatever it is, they were, became vain in their imaginations. But the key there is, neither were they thankful. Neither were they thankful. So we see some things here, and we won't go into any more of that, but some negativity here of what happens of a life that's lived being unthankful. It's a direct disobedience to God, and it's a life that's not fruitful. It's a life that will not provide anything worthwhile eternally, and it won't even give you the joy that you're looking for, to happiness down here. But what happens when we try to be thankful? What happens that when we try to be thankful for all that God has given us? John 15:11, these things have I written unto you that your joy might be full. We'll have joy. We'll have peace. Most importantly, we'll be obeying our Savior and be pleasing to Him. You'll be a blessing to other people. Somebody who is unthankful is not a blessing to other people. I think it was my father-in-law used to say, everyone brightens a room. Some people when they come in and some people when they go out. There's a lot of truth to that. You got an unthankful spirit, you're the one that brightens it when they go out. Seriously. Are you the type of person that people say, I hope I don't have to deal with him today. I hope I don't have to deal with her today. Are you the type of person that says, man, I'm glad you're here. Your thankful spirit can be a way that that balance will be found. You know, that thankful spirit is what can make a difference. Are you thankful for the things around you? Thankful for what God has given you? He said, I might come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Do you realize the abundant life that Jesus Christ has given us? Or do we have an unthankful spirit? It's a pleasure to give a gift to somebody that appreciates it, is it not? You've maybe thought about it, prayed about, I really want to get something for, you know, little Jimmy or whoever, and I've got this for him. And they appreciate it. It's like, good, what a blessing. But they looked at it and just say, Larry, you know, who wants to give a gift to that kid? I already touched that once. But what about us with God? God wants, I'm not being a, you know, a prosperity preacher here or anything, but God wants us to give us things. How often is he, can't do it this time. He wasn't even thankful. Dave wasn't even thankful last time. We're just going to hold off here. How often does he do that? I don't know. Too often. And it's not him, it's us. Because we don't have a thankful spirit. Every country I've been in, I don't know how many, it's been in a lot, I don't know, 15 or 20 different countries. Every country I've been in is the receptiveness of the gospel has gone linked directly to their lack of prosperity. Their lack of, and I would conclude the parallel of that with their thankfulness or unthankfulness. This country, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, Prague, Czech Republic, St. Petersburg, Russia, they were hard. They were really hard. We got it. We got everything. I'm living in Austria. What do I need God for? It's the most beautiful spot in the world. I've gone to places on the river here. I forgot who was with me one day on visitation. I went to give them a gospel tract, knock on their door, give them a tract, and I'd like to invite you to church and I tell you about Jesus Christ. You see this? You see this house? You think I need anything? Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Go to Papua New Guinea. That's a culture shock. There's places in Mexico I've been that make the worst spots in Mexico look, Papua New Guinea look like, you know, Mexico look like a resort area. You know, 3 hours from Brisbane, 2 hours from Brisbane, Australia, you know, just like here, and you get out to the airport in the capital city, and you drive around. Yeah, there's paved roads and everything, but then you get off a little bit, still in the capital city, and there's garbage burning in the streets, there's cars burnt out along the side of the road because they just stall and they burn them out, and nobody has shoes on and running around. No, there's not a blade of grass anywhere, just weeds. Church is about bigger than this, has no toilet. No running water in pastor's home. They love the Word of God. They love the Word of God. You go like this, the bus is at the stoplight, and hands will come out of the bus. Most helpless feeling I ever thought was they preach in this market. You just stand there and start setting up a speaker and crowd gathers. And you preach to them, and then you go through the market, I had a stack of tracts, and they're just like reaching out. And finally, I'm standing, there's like 10, 15 people around me, and they got their hands out, and I got like three tracts left. thankful. They were thankful to get that little piece of paper. What they do with it, I don't know. I pray that many of them got saved. But you know what? It goes back to thankfulness. They didn't have much, but what they had, they were thankful for. They were, out of all the countries I've been in, they were the happiest people. The happiest people. What about, you think back a couple weeks ago, that was a good service we had there. I think it was, what, the Sunday night before Thanksgiving or the Wednesday before Thanksgiving? A couple different times, right? Not that all the rest of the services weren't good, but that one was particularly good, no. But the one before Thanksgiving, we all, you know, a lot of people gave testimonies, and you know, a lot of kind words were spoken and different things like that, words of gratitude and thankfulness, and there was a real spirit about all that. It was a blessing. And I always love Thanksgiving because, you know, you just get a couple of the day off or two and you just think about things a little more. And it's a good feeling. It's a good spirit about that. And yet, why can't we carry that through more through the year? We get busy. We get distracted. And like Jason was teaching, preaching in Sunday school, you know, the devil's got this toolbox here. He knows exactly which tool to pull out. Say, hey, he's getting a little too thankful. Let's put this wrench in it. True. He knows all of our buttons what to push. But how can we be more thankful? You know what? The difference between unthankfulness and thankfulness is a matter of perspective. It's where you're at spiritually. Are you living after the flesh or after the spirit? And maybe you're living after the spirit in most all of your life, but this one little spot here isn't. And then that's where we mess up. But it's always a matter of perspective. You know, if those of you who've flown, it can be rainy and nasty and snowy. You know, when you take off, you get above the clouds, sun's out and shining. It's a matter of perspective. No matter where you're at, we just don't need to be close to God. You get close to God and the things of this world will pale in comparison. The spirit of unthankfulness will feed your fleshly desires. Unthankfulness is driven by improper perspective. You think about it. Oh, my car broke down. It's got to be in the shop again. Oh. You know, 1 out of 6 people in the world have a car? How many do you have? I guess we didn't have to take the other one this week. Ooh, hardship. Hardship. My water heater went out. So you got running water in your house. And you can put the dial up. It's been too hot lately. I kind of can't hold my hand under anything. It's like, I got to turn the dial down. Real hardship. Are we thankful for these things? There's nothing wrong with having these things. There's nothing wrong. I am thankful that I can go over the wall and turn a little dial, and it turns it to 70 degrees if I want, or 62 or whatever. I'm thankful. But nothing wrong with that. But you see, it has to be put in perspective. Are we thankful for these things? The Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you." In order to be truly appreciative of a gift, you have to realize you don't deserve it. Right? That's what they call it, a gift and not a paycheck. That's why they call it a gift and not a, you know, well, I got this for you because you did this for me. That's not really a gift. It was like a transaction, a barter system. But a gift, you have to realize, I don't deserve it. And you know, all the things that we have in our lives, people, I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. And if we start out with that perspective, it'll help us be a more thankful people. But what is the greatest gift? This is by no means exhaustive. We could be here for hours, and that's not happening. But I'll just go over a few things here. What are some gifts that we can look at? What are some things that God has given us that we can be thankful for? The first thing, the greatest gift ever given, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says in Romans chapter 6 verse 23, says, "For the wages of sin is death." And we could stop right there. We could stop there, and that's what we deserve. But the Lord didn't stop right there. He says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. So we need to ponder that. We get so busy with things. And we just get used to being saved. We get used to living the Christian life and that sort of thing. We need to just take a couple steps back, change our perspective, and realize what the Lord has done for us and help us be more thankful. And we start doing that, then all these other things will pale by comparison. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 says that that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world, in the world. But now, see, that was us. We were having no hope. No hope means no hope. Not one chance in 100 trillion. No hope. You might have lived out your life without Jesus Christ, but the eternity, you had no hope. But without God in this world, but now, in Christ Jesus, you are sometimes who are far off, were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made us both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinance, for make us in himself twain one new man. And so we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Let's turn over to, let's see here. All right, so we got the gift of God, but you think about that. We're made sons of God. The Bible says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. It'd be one thing if he saved us from a lake of fire. It'd be yet another thing he gave us life eternal. That'd be more than we deserve, obviously. Then we would be his sons. Not servants, but sons. You think, ponder that for a minute. You say, well, that doesn't, I don't know, is that striking you at all? If not, where's your perspective? You got to think about that. Because you and I did not deserve that. We deserved Romans 6:23a. For the wages of sin is death. End of story. That's what we deserve. And you have to think about that. And you might have been a good person before you were saved. You might have been going to church. You might have been a moral person. Many of us weren't. It didn't matter. Because you and I were without hope and without God in this world. And he's the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, bridged that gap. He's the one that died for your sins. He's the one that gave us power to become the sons of God. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4. I think that was the verse I was trying to get at earlier here. Galatians chapter 4. Got a little ahead of myself. That's the first. Let's see. Galatians chapter 4. Verse 4. Verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And became, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Again, we already touched on it. There's a scripture to back it. We become a son of God. Because of that transaction that Jesus Christ did for us. The greatest gift ever given. It was God sending his only begotten Son, right? The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As I mentioned earlier, it's fun to give a gift to a child who likes it, but God gave us a gift and we were his enemies. And when he was being nailed on that cross, he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. He did that for you and for me. You know, we see that the nativity scene, and we think of the babe in the manger. We see pictures, or we see, imagine our mind, Christ dying on that cross. You got to think about that. That's personal. That's for you. That's for me. Are we thankful for that? Do we sit and ponder it? That little babe in the manger is real cute, but he left the throne of glory to be born there. He left the thrones of glory to be and live among sinful men for 33 years. And he left the throne of glory to live and have to resist sin every second of every day of his life and never sin for you and I. And he knew what they're going to do to him. And he knew all that his entire life. He is subject to his parents and all things. He knew, he went through all that. And then he had the sin of all the world laid on him for you, for me. As Pilate said in Matthew chapter 27, verse 22, what shall I do then with Jesus that is called Christ? See, what will you and I do? Most of you in here, I assume, are Christians, are saved, born again. So, what will you do? In light of what he has done for us, what will you do with Jesus Christ? Are you thankful? Are you thankful for that great gift? What about, let's just turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Take a look at that. What else can we be thankful for on a daily basis? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amy Carmichael, a missionary to India, a very amazing book, life story there. She wrote, "When I consider the cross of Christ, how can anything I do be called a sacrifice? It all pales in comparison." What else can we be thankful for? We got the greatest gift He's ever given. It was dying on that cross for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But what else can we be thankful for here? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. It says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He gave us victory. He gave us victory over death. I remember after I became a Christian, after I was saved, went to a man in our church, died suddenly in a car accident. He was probably about 40-some years old. I remember going to that funeral, and it was an eye-opener. This is like no other funeral I ever been to. Why? Because they knew for certain where he was. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And what a blessing that is. He's given us victory over death, victory over sin. You know, if you stay in this book, and you apply this book in your life, and you get in this book and you read it, and you pray, He'll give you victory over sin. Some sins might take longer than others, but alcohol, drugs, bad temper, impatience, bad character, selfishness, you name the list, He can give you victory over those things. And we ought to be thankful for that. What about being thankful that He gave us victory over false causes and the vainness of this world? All the world is wrapped up in all sorts of things except the cause of Christ. Many Christians are wrapped up in all sorts of things except the cause of Christ. We can be thankful that He's given us victory over those types of things. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. What are some other items we can be thankful for? First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for He hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." You know what He's done? He's put us in the ministry. You say, "Well, I thought the ministry was just for a pastor or a preacher." No. We're all called to the ministry. The Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." It's not a matter of just, well, this person went to Bible school, or this person stands behind a pulpit. It's not it. There's no clergy lady. This is not the Catholic Church here with the priests and bishops and everything. We're all called to minister. We're called to minister to each other. We're called to minister to our children. And think about that. Are we thankful that God counted me faithful? That God counted you faithful? You know, we have six children. That was our ministry. One of the ministries is raising those kids. And Jason touched on this morning about white ladies that stay home with their kids. There's no important position in the world than raising those kids. That's a great ministry. He's given us something worthwhile to do. Are we thankful for that? You know, this whole thing, Jim Elliot, who got martyred as a missionary down in Ecuador, he wrote, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that he cannot lose." That's so true. And you think about that in raising children, and ministering young children, especially the mothers, that's your ministry. Are you helping them? Are you helping them live godly? Are your kids seeing you, mom and dad, read your Bible? Are they seeing you pray? Are they seeing you have a reverence for godly things? They see you have a love for God's people? Or they hear you back talking about God's people? It's one thing we never did in our home. We never said anything negative with our children about anything like that. Those conversations didn't happen. did not happen. That paints just a vivid picture as you can be in a young child's mind. And what do you expect? If you're not teaching them to memorize verses and have devotions to them, what do you think by some miracle that everything's going to work out fine? Why do you want to rely on a miracle of God to intervene in your kids' lives? They need to see the consistency. They need to see you loving God. And that's a ministry. That is a great ministry. The reason we have this whole lot of second generation people here is because a lot of people took that very seriously 30 years ago. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. But that's a great ministry. And you think about the ministry in general for all of us. It says, He has called me faithful, putting me into ministry. Isn't it a blessing to have something worthwhile to do? To have something eternal to do? You know, everything else we do in life is temporal, as I mentioned before. But, you know, you give somebody a track, or you just talk to somebody, you try to be a blessing to somebody, they're going through a hard time, and you try to help them through it a little bit, give them some words of encouragement. That's something eternal. That just doesn't go away. And the devil we might lose our reward for that, but he can't take that away. So are we thankful? Are we thankful that, do you realize, first off, that God calls you to be in a ministry? It might not be a Sunday school teacher, it might not be a preacher, a teacher, whatever the case is, but we're all to minister one to another. Do we have that attitude of ministry? Do we have that attitude of submission? Jesus Christ washed the feet of his disciples. Jesus Christ, who knows how much he knew as a teenager, as a young boy. We don't know how much he knew. He knew a lot more than most everyone else because he confounded doctors. But he was subject to his parents in all things. That's humbleness. Are we humble one to another? And something to think about. But what else can we be thankful for? And again, this is no way to exhaust it. Psalm 119, verse 5. It says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Are you thankful for your Bible this morning? Are you thankful that you have the perfect Word of God sitting in your lap? There's been hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people who have died or had their lives endangered for that book. When I was in Prague, there was a big square outside the cathedral there, and they had 27 crosses in the pavement where 27 people were martyred for the Word of God. I don't know, 1610 or somewhere around there. Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful that we can sit here in just peace and tranquility and just read our Bible? If you want to sit in the street corner and read the Bible, preach to people, you can do that. Are we thankful for that? The Bible says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You know what you have to do? To have a lamp, you know a lamp has to be done. You know, make a lamp effective. You know what a lamp has to do? There's a switch on the side. It's got to be turned on. You know what this lamp has to do if it's going to be effective? It's got to be opened up. It's got to be read. You know, don't be one of those who come to church and says, oh, have you guys seen my Bible? I don't know where I left it Wednesday. That's not good. That's not good, young person, old person, middle person. It's not good. How can it be a lamp on your feet when you don't turn the switch on? You know, I got this really cool DeWalt light. I know it's a battery charged thing. Well, how stupid of me to try to go out and walk around and holding this light. Just holding this light. And I never turn the switch on and open it up and read it. You think, what an idiot. He's stumbling over everything. What kind of a person is that? He's stumbling through life. Then, well, are you reading your Bible? Are you getting wisdom from God? Are you? Get in your Bible. Get in your Bible. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 12. This is way back in the Old Testament, talking about the word of the law. And you can reference it to the Bible as well. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 12, it says, It is not in heaven that thou shouldst say, Who shall go up to heaven and bring it down and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldst say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is nigh, very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth, in thy heart, and thou mayest do it. So the Word of God is right in front of us. The Bible in 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 17, it says that we have a more sure word of prophecy. In Psalms chapter 12, verse 6, it says, The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them forever. You have the words in your lap. It's a matter of us reading them. But are you thankful for that? Are you thankful enough to not just have 15 copies at home and all different types of styles and pocket ones and big ones and reference editions, but are you thankful to read it? Beyond that, is the what you read just up here, or is it moving in here, and is it moving in here? Does it motivate you to action? You can read and understand, go on into all the world and preach the gospel. You can understand it up here, and it can touch your heart. And you can shed a tear when the missionary shows his slides. But what are you doing in your personal life? Are you putting it into action? Are you putting it into action? So, are we thankful for the Word of God? Are we reading it? So what are we thankful for? What are just a few things we're thankful for? Obviously, the greatest gift that's ever been given, the Lord Jesus Christ dying for our sins. Are we thankful for that? The greatest gift, of course, eternal life. That God's given us a victory over death and sin and given us in the grave. Are you thankful for He's given us something eternal to do? Are you thankful for the Word of God? And see, all these things could just get all clouded up. And we're looking through a dark, you know, most of you guys have glasses, a lot of you do. You know, glasses are a little dirty, you can't see, or no glasses at all, that's even worse. And you don't see things clearly. Well, what is that? I don't know what that is. Get my glasses on. See, we can go through life like that. Without, if we're not thankful, if we don't have a thankful spirit. The Bible says to be thankful. We can be thankful that we have a good and merciful God. I was looking through, it's quite amazing how many times it comes up in Psalms. And within just a few chapters, there's several almost identical, there's a couple identical verses, and there's several that are very close to being identical verses. And it talks about, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. He is good comes up 5 times, His mercy endureth forever is 8 times. We have a merciful God. Allah is not merciful. He is not merciful. And all the false gods in the world are not merciful. And all the spokes do not lead to the same hub. It's only Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. It's Him or nothing. And we have a merciful God. So that God is so powerful, and He's so good. And what a blessing that is. Like I said before, it's enough that not only that He saved us from a lake of fire, but He gave us a home in heaven. He's been so good to us down here, as I mentioned already. He's let us live a peaceful and tranquil life. Even today as we speak, there's 1 in 9 Christians in the world suffer persecution. 11 are killed every day for their faith. So we live here, and we can worship the Lord, and we can have a Bible, and all those sorts of things. Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful for what God has done? And are we thankful for the attribute of God, that He is good? Not only did He do all that in the past, but He continues to do things in our lives all the time. We serve a good and a merciful God. Are we thankful for the attributes of God? Yes, there are trials, and there are heartaches at times, and there are calamities, and there's loss of loved ones, and there's some real heartache. But He says, I will not leave you comfortless. He says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When the world seems like it's coming down around you, and you don't know how much more you can take, like He told His disciples at the Last Supper, He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It'll be all right. And again, you know what that's all about? It's about the perspective. Because here we are right now, and this is a really, really serious trial. I don't know if He's going to make it or if He's going to make it. And the Lord says, take a couple steps back. Take a couple steps back. Let's look at this big picture, Dave. See that? Look at it. Whatever happens, they're saved. And they're going to be up there in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What greater peace can you have than that? What greater peace? Are we thankful for that? We think, like I said, the loss of a loved one. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's just a little time. It's little bit. And in the midst of the trials, he provides opportunities for us to draw closer to him. And it's not because he is mean to us. It's not because he wants the worst thing in the world for us. But look, you and I, without Jesus Christ, would have a whole lot more trials than we have with Jesus Christ. Except we couldn't cry out to God as our Father back then. You might have prayed, and I prayed, before we were saved. And then his mercy, he might have answered some prayers. Thankful for that. But now we can cry out to him as our Father. What a blessing. What a blessing. Not only that, he allows those trials to come. Because it's in the valley when God can get the true glory. See, we're up in the mountaintop. You know, it's of course. Even the devil said to Job, well, of course. You know, Job's going to, the devil said to God, of course Job's going to praise you. Look what you've done to him. You see? On a mountaintop, it's easy. It's easy to praise the Lord sometimes, and it's easy sometimes to be thankful, but it's in the valley. It's in the valley is where God can get the true glory. See, because then God can look down from heaven. See him? He's not having such a good day. Things have gone pretty bad for him, and he's still thankful that he's going to heaven. I like that. Do you see that? I like that. That's what I want to do for God. What about you? Are we thankful in the valleys and as much as on the mountaintops? We need to be thankful at all times. We need to be thankful at all times. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's turn to... So what are we thankful for here? We're thankful for God's greatest gift. We're thankful for the gift of victory over different things in our lives, victory over death, victory over the grave, giving us something worthwhile to do, giving us the Word of God, and that He's a good and merciful God. And just think about along that line, what else has He done? Think about something, let your mind wander for a brief second. Just think of something that you're really thankful for in your life. Would it be possible without God? No. It all goes back to Him. It all goes back to Him, you see? And so He's done so much for us in our lives. And I think back in my life and what He's done for me and just being in this church and like the other night, the Thanksgiving service we had and that sort of thing. And what, you know, I'm thankful among many, many other things is seeing you people make decisions. And you people grow, and you people raising your kids right, and the second generation of people raising their children right, and all these different things. That's a blessing. It's very, very encouraging. It's very encouraging to see people who had maybe made some bad decisions in the past, now they're making some good decisions, all those types of things. It's good. It's real good. You know why? Because we serve a good God. We serve a merciful God. And we see all these little, we just got to look around a little bit. You can listen to talk radio and get all the negativity garbage, or you can just stop and think about Jesus Christ and think about how good He is and think of the blessings in your life, think of the blessings in other people's lives, and get the proper biblical perspective on things, where it's not a matter about feeding my flesh. It's not about me. It's never about you. It's never about me. It's about Him. And Revelation 4:12 says we are created for His pleasure. You are not created for your pleasure. Your kids are not created for your pleasure. You were not created for their pleasure. We were all created for His pleasure. And that's a perspective that we need to have. That's a perspective that God wants us to have. So you look at all the things we had to be thankful for. Can we be a more thankful people? I struggle with this a lot, this message, because I am not, none of us are, but maybe me more in particular, a thankful person. I've gotten a little more thankful. Honestly, quite honestly, the mission trips helped drastically. I've seen too many things to not be thankful. Those trips changed my life drastically. I will, by the grace of God, not take many things in my life for granted that I used to. Being laid off from a good job will make you appreciate things. going a long time before a customer gives you a check will help you appreciate things. Will help you appreciate going to the bank more frequently. See, it's sad it takes those things, isn't it? You know, sad it takes sometimes a, that's not even, a, I don't even want to call those things trials. It takes something in your life, negative, until you appreciate how good God is. Man, if we could just be the type of people that would appreciate it without having to be brought down that way. That would be a blessing, wouldn't it? You look back in the Bible, and I was thinking, who is it? Well, when I researched, do this at home. You got your iPod, iPad, computer, whatever, phone. Do a word search. It's very interesting. On thank, thanks, plural, and thanksgiving. And just ram them all together in a word document or something and look at all the references that are in Psalms, written by who? David. And in the Pauline epistles, written by Paul. Okay? Those two men. Those two men have more to say about being thankful and thanks and thanksgiving than way more than all the rest of Scriptures combined. I thought to myself, what is it about David and Paul? We're almost done here. I really mean that. It's not just a false hope, okay? David. What is it about David and Paul? Who was David? Was he a CEO of a company? He was a shepherd. You know what his tools were? A shepherd's staff and a sling, and that was it. And these stinky sheep. The stupidest of all animals, I got to watch these stupid animals. And they smell. And when the bear comes, I have to risk my life to kill the bear and the lion. That was David. See, David took him from nothing and raised him up to be king of Israel. I don't think David ever remembered what it was like to be a shepherd. I don't think David has ever forgot, except for a couple instances in his life, that he didn't deserve to be king. He didn't deserve that. He even told Saul, right? He says, oh, who am I to be brought up in the king's household? I don't deserve your daughter. I'm a shepherd. Right? He had a humbleness that transcended his whole life. He never deserved, he knew in his heart he didn't deserve to be king. Isn't that what we should be like? That we should never really, we should realize we never deserve to be a child of king. John 1:12, as many as receive him, they then give you part because it's come the sons of God. That should not be us, but it is. Then you look at Paul. Now he was somebody. You know, he is somebody in the world. He was a real driven individual. He's very zealous. He persecuted those Christians. Then Jesus Christ intervened in his life and rode to Damascus. Knocked him down on the ground. And he says, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And Saul was never Saul anymore. He was Paul. And he has more to write about being thankful. And he's obviously the one that thanked God for putting him in the ministry in 1 Timothy, who before was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy. You know what I think is neat about those two men? Paul is a kind of a picture of a first-generation Christian. That was me. And David's kind of a picture of a second-generation Christian, brought up in a good home. Wasn't really much, just a child. All of a sudden, the child of King. So no matter where you're at, you need to think of these two men. And there's attributes in each of them that we need to take. Paul was always thankful that God would use him despite his past. For those of us that got saved late in life, that ought to never be erased from our memory. That God would use us in any way, shape, or form, despite not only our past before we're saved, but maybe our past once we did get saved. See, God is good. And God is merciful. And that's a blessing. And we need to be thankful for that. And maybe you're in here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. We go back to the first point. The greatest gift. Something you cannot do yourself. You can never earn it. The old saying is, if you could earn it, why did he die? For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. See, it's purely a matter of faith. And unless you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's a lake of fire waiting. It's not a matter of a Baptist church. It's not a matter of a Catholic church, Lutheran. It's not a matter of any church. It's not a matter of anything. It's a matter of taking God at his word, realizing you're a sinner, that you deserve hell for your sins, and that Jesus Christ is the only way out. And that's it. It's that faith. What did that thief say in the cross? He says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And that beaten, bloodied Savior says, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." That's how easy it is. But what the devil has done has seeped in pride and all these other religions and all these other sacraments and all these other things to complicate it. It's not complicated. Here's the gift. Will you receive it? What's keeping you, if you're in here today, from receiving that gift? Is it pride? Self-righteousness? Laziness? Don't. Today, the Bible says, you know, today is the day of salvation. Don't let be. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. It's the greatest decision I've ever made. I'm sure most of you will agree with that who are saved. It's the greatest decision you've ever made. One time, I'll close this, I was preaching at Oak Park Heights Prison, a supermax prison, level 6, I think it is. And these guys, they're all in there for life. Multiple life sentences, murders, who knows what else they did besides that. And there's a good group of Christians there. Some, unfortunately, were saved before they did the crime. Man, most of them got saved afterwards. But they were there, and there were some of the most zealous people I ever met. Because they are paying a price to be a Christian there. And there's another third of them who just came because they want something to do besides stay in their cell. And so I asked them, I says, "Okay," I said, "how many of you in here today are saved?" And, you know, about two-thirds of them raised their hand. I says, "If you could somehow trade what you have in Jesus Christ this morning and give that up and walk out those doors with me when I go home, would you do it?" None of them raised their hand. As now the rest of you, what do they have that's worth staying the rest of your life in this prison for? See, they were thankful. And hopefully had an impression on those that were lost. So, it's something to think about. Hopefully some things that help you. I want to be a more thankful person. I'm ashamed I'm not. I want to be. Because it's all kind of nothing but good comes of being thankful. For me, the most important thing is God gets the glory. And that's what the glory he deserves, to be thankful for what he's done for us. Let's pray.